Now, on the 9th of February 1988, Mary McCourt's 22-year-old daughter Helen left her office in Liverpool city centre and began her usual commute home. She was never seen again, and someone was charged with her murder, but her body was never found, meaning that Mary and her family have never been able to have a grave which they can lay flowers and pay their respects. Well, it is actually the anniversary of Helen's going missing today, and Mary very, very bravely joins us. Thanks for being on the show, Mary.
Oh, you're welcome, Selena. Mm-hmm.
So,
it's 33 years and to the day. And I'm going to get around to 5 o'clock. That's when she was on her way home. And, you know, it's something that you think is never, ever, ever going to happen to somebody in one of your loved ones in a family.
Yeah.
But sadly, we are seeing more and more of these kind of killers who think that they can beat the system, they can take a life and have control over the family of their victim.
Yeah.
Which is what they do.
So, when
we go out looking for Helen, which we've done for the 33 years, unfortunately, we can't do it now because of the virus.
Mm.
And but as soon as that's over, because the area you see that we search, Selena, is out of our what they call area, you know, a number, and like we come under Liverpool, so even though we're on the edge of it in Manchester, it's we can't go that far.
Right. Okay. So somebody was convicted. That's the shocking thing. A man called Ian Sims, who was landlord of the pub where she used to work, he was convicted and sent to prison, but he denied it all the time. And so, because he denied it, he never said where the body was.
Mm-hmm. He still says that he's innocent. He'll not admit it, even though the evidence now is, the forensic evidence is now at 1.1 billion.
Wow. Oh, my goodness. Mm. Is he still in prison?
No. He got released, actually 12 months on the 5th of February, just gone, and just 4 days before Helen's anniversary again. And so he's been released.
Wow.
And I think it's all very, very wrong. I'm just moving that phone away. If you don't want
No worries. You're probably getting lots of messages today.
Well, it's always, but if my husband John, he can put the sound down on us.
Okay.
And I didn't, when this happened to Helen, I just thought it was one of the worst nights that we'd had, because we had these 90 miles an hour winds coming over Liverpool. And of course, I live in Billinge, and Billinge is on a hill, so we were really getting the whole full force of the wind. And Helen was coming home from work, and I thought, well, something's happened. We heard that the train was delayed because the tree had blown across the line. So I didn't worry when she wasn't home for a meal, which she wanted me to have on the table for 5:15 to 5:30, because she had Frank popping in to see her.
Mm.
And so I relaxed till then, until it got to about 7:10, and we were trying to get in touch with the railway. Where is the train held up, can we go? And when they asked what station she got off, and I said St. Helens, and they said, oh, it won't have affected her. And that is when I just started losing it, and I thought, I rung all their friends, everybody, you know, is Helen there, you know? And it was no, she was going home. She said you were having their tea ready. And And so I rang hospitals in case something had, some masonry or something had fallen off a roof and she could be unconscious and taken to hospital.
Yeah, yeah.
And so you look at all those scenarios, Selena, you know, and then in the end, we went out, made our way into Liverpool, and John, he was my fiance then, and we went into Liverpool. We tried to trace her way to the station, and when we got the station, the station master told me, no, it didn't affect her. The trains are running within only 3-4 minutes delay. That's all to St. Helens. And so I asked where the nearest police station was, and we went there, and I reported her as missing. That would have been around about 9:30 in the evening then.
And I was reading that the desk sergeant then didn't even seem too concerned, because as soon as you told him her age, he seemed to think, well, you know, she's a grown woman, which wasn't right.
That's right, yes. I'd never been in a police station before, and I didn't know anything about that, you know. And I only actually heard during the trial when Ian Sims put himself in the witness box, and he said, well, you know, you don't expect the police to go out so quick. After all, you know, she was 22, and they won't normally do anything unless they're under 18.
But I guess you
and,
knew.
You won't do anything, he said, for 48 hours.
Yeah, yeah.
And I was quite shocked hearing that, because I thought, well, I didn't know that. You know, and I honestly think, had I have known that, then I possibly would not have, I'd have been too worried to get in touch with the police.
Yeah.
So thank God I didn't know us.
And then a couple of days later, somebody found an earring, is that right?
Yes, I had the police from the station where I had reported Helen missing, that was in Liverpool, and all through the night I was sat up looking out the window through the Venetian blinds, looking for someone coming up, and it was 4:20, about 4:20 in the morning, and two officers arrived. They took all the details again, and they took a picture of Helen, and they started the search. They got permission off their boss because they felt something was really wrong with it. Just, I suppose, a policeman's good sense of, is this something serious or not? Yeah. And of course, the police went into full force. They went into her works. And because they acted so quickly, they decided that by the Thursday morning, they knew she'd arrived in the village at less than 500 yards from her home. And so they decided to do a house search. And that involved the pub, and which is about 400 yards away, and it was asking questions with customers in there, and then the landlord Ian Sims, and then they decided they would take his manager, well, he wasn't his manager, his barman, and him down to the station because the pub was getting busy, and he was taken down, and because of the lies he was telling, they were very soon picked up on from his mistress. And although he was a married man, and his wife and children lived in the village, and her story and the barman's story matched, but Ian Sims's was totally, totally different. He told the police he stayed in all night.
Wow.
And then the police, of course, because they had him in the station, that was on the Thursday, and then clothing was found on the Wednesday morning in Manchester. This is where I say we're between Liverpool and Manchester, and it was by a butcher who was taking his dog for an early morning walk, and the dog found the clothes, and he looked at them, and being a butcher, he thought that is human blood, it's not animal blood or anything. And so he went home and rang Cheshire Police, and Cheshire Police went out, gathered it all, sent it to the forensics in Chorley, which is shared between Merseyside, Cheshire, Manchester and Lancashire. And as it turned out, it was one of the forensics who had been in the pub the day before, and on the Friday morning, this bag was put by his seat for him to deal with. And when he opened it up, the first thing he pulled out was a sweatshirt with Labatt on it. And he thought, oh, that's the pub that we searched yesterday.
Right.
And they had a Labatt promotion on. But on the Thursday, he was on the Thursday itself, where they'd done the house searches and that, and because Ian Sims, they'd found that he was telling lies, they got the forensics to search his car, and he found Helen's earring in the back of the boot.
Right.
And okay. It was on the Thursday evening that the two officers, senior officers, came to the house with this earring and like a little plastic file, what scientist's shoes, and he just said, does this mean anything to you, Mrs. McCourt? And I just remember looking at it and saying, it's identical to the earrings Helen was wearing today. Because I give a description of all her clothing, what jewellery she had on, and so he was detained then, and he was never released because the evidence built up and up and up.
Yeah.
His clothing was found in where it was his clothing that the butcher's dog had found, and he thought, well, somebody just stepped out of these clothes because the jeans were concertinaed, and he'd been a butcher. Apparently they have very sensitive hands, and he could feel heat vibrating from it, even though it was bitter cold in February.
Mm.
And so he looked round, thinking somebody was hiding in the woods, probably naked, waiting to get dressed again. And so when he got home, it bothered him, and the police come out, and that was given to him.
Yeah,
and
that
was how the whole thing then started.
Lots of evidence.
And it just went on and on, given evidence.
Yeah, yeah. And he was convicted and was given life, although clearly it didn't mean life because he was let out last year. But although it must have given you some sense of justice, you still wanted to know where Helen was, didn't you?
Pardon?
You still, although you had a little bit of a sense of justice because he was put in prison, you still wanted to know where Helen was.
Oh, yes, yes. You know, and I really believe that, well, if I wrote a letter to him, you know, not condemning him or anything else, other than please, please, just tell me where we can find my daughter's body. It's then, you know, it was like 3 years, I said, since I'd last seen heard her laughter, and he wrote back, I just said, you know, please just tell me where we can find her body, and you'll never hear from me again. You can go on with your sentence, and I won't have any interference in it.
And what did he say?
He wrote a very nasty letter back.
And that was it.
So,
as if he hasn't done enough.
I wouldn't write to him ever again.
No.
Because the letter was so horrible.
Awful man. What's good that's come out of this is you have set up Helen's Law. Tell us about that.
Well, we have always gone out searching as a family. Every Sunday we went out. I would go out with my sisters through the week if I was able to, and we'd look at maps, we'd look at areas, we collected soil samples because we were trying to get the same clay that was all over his clothes, his car and everything else, and because of that, we got a lot of publicity from the press. You know, they'd come up and they'd say, ask about it. And that's how Helen's Law has come about, because people in this country were angry that he is in prison. He's not telling me where my daughter's remains can be recovered from, and he was given a 16-year tariff. Well, he's gone well past the tariff, and each time he came before the parole board, he was still kept in a category B, which is quite high up, as danger. But then in about the last four years, they suddenly decided they were going to put him in a Class C prison and 12 months in there, and then he was put in an open prison, and I just knew then that they were going to release him, and that's where I started thinking, I need to, this law, we need to have a law. People can't go hiding, killing people and hiding their bodies in places. It could be in parks, it could be in the woods or anything, and any innocent person going through there could maybe have seen some evidence that what is this? Get the police. And that's why I thought this is wrong. And I also thought it was very wrong that he could be released without saying where Helen's remains could be recovered from. And yet, two Home Secretaries, Michael Howard, he contacted my MP and said, you can assure her he will never be released unless he shows remorse, and to do that he has to say where her daughter's remains can be recovered. So that was in the late 90s, mid-90s, and then Labour got in towards the end of the 90s, and again, because I thought they're going to release him, I started looking up for this word remorse, which Michael Howard had used. They had to show remorse. And I had a meeting with Jack Straw, who was the Home Secretary at the time, and he kept saying to me, Mrs. McCourt, he cannot be released, he said, unless he tells us where her remains are. And I said, look, I've gone on the conditions of a life for being released, and I cannot find that word, remorse. It isn't there. Well, we didn't realise, and I don't think Jack Straw realised either, that Tony Blair had taken us into the Court of Human Rights.
Right.
And
okay.
So therefore, remorse doesn't come into it anywhere. But at the time, Jack Straw was adamant. And he even said to me, as we were going out, he said, Mrs. McCourt, he said, unless he shows remorse and tells us where your daughter's remains can be recovered from, if he doesn't do that, he will die in prison. Mm. And that's how he said it. And so I was confident that he wasn't going to come out, but I just wanted him to tell me where Helen was. Yeah. But then when they put him in a category C, I knew that they were getting ready to prepare him for release without saying where Helen's body is. And that was the start of my having Helen's law.
Yeah, well done on that, because it will help others. And the whole story is in the book, A Justice for Helen, A Mother's Quest to Find Her Missing Daughter, by Mary McCourt, who we're speaking to now. Thank you so much, Mary. I know it's a difficult day for you, and my huge condolences, but thank you for sharing the story, and let's hope it will help other people in the future.
Oh, thank you so much.
My pleasure.
Really,
you take care.
Because I need for this, for Helen's law, not as Helen's law, but I believe that this is something that not just our country, but other countries, that these killers are hiding, killing people, usually ladies, young girls, or that, and they need to know that they can't hide that body. They may Ian Sims would have, if the police hadn't acted so quickly, Selena, right away within the 24 hours, Helen would just be a missing person today.
Yeah,
I know
because
Ian Sims was already, when the police went in on the Thursday not even 48 hours after Helen being missing, he was already starting to get rid of all the evidence.
Yes, of course. And also, I'm sure if they had have stuck to the law, if Helen's lawyer had been in, then if they said to him, look, you will not be released until you say where Helen's remains are, then I'm sure he would have done. He would eventually have cracked, wouldn't he, because he wanted to be set free.
Well, according to the parole judge who decided he was safe to be released, he said, his words were, that there was absolutely no doubt that Ian Sims killed my daughter and he's hidden her body. He has invested in himself, they believe, that he's going to come out as an innocent man. And we believe that he would rather die in prison than tell Mrs. McCourt where her daughter's remains are hidden. And therefore, we feel there's no point in keeping him in prison any longer, and we feel he will be safe to be released.
Wow.
I can't understand.
I can't.
He's talking in riddles there.
Yeah, it doesn't make any sense at all, does it?
No sense.
No. Well, listen, well done. I'll be thinking of you at 5 o'clock today, and you take care. Thanks for being on the show, Mary.
Okay. Selena, could I just, if you don't mind, could I mention about the book that has just come out now?
Yes, of course.
Over Helen's Law. Because I really feel that this people reading this book, I'm getting so many replies, and they're saying, you know, oh, we know it was awful for you, but that is horrific for him to be doing that all these years. And what I want people to know is that when a loved one hasn't come home or isn't in a place they should have been, And sometimes families will say, oh, well, they've probably gone to their friends and stayed there. Please, please, check, make sure that they are where you think they are, because they can get rid of evidence very, very quickly. But thank God, DNA can prove by just little fibres, head hairs, and they can catch the killer easily.
Yeah, indeed. Mm. Well, we're actually selling your book, A Justice for Helen, on our website, tre.radio, so people can buy it there. And presumably, if they put Helen's Law into the internet, they can find out more information?
Oh, yes, there's a lot on the
internet.
On the internet, yeah. And there are film companies, you know, young ones, they've come over the years and they've done Helen's Law on YouTube. And if they want to know more about it, they can go on to YouTube. They only have to put either my name in or Helen McCourt.
Yes, I must admit, I looked at that as well. Sadly, we're out of time, Mary, but thank you so much for sharing your story.
Yeah, when missing turns to murder, that was the last one that went out.
Okay. You take care now. Take care of yourself. Thanks for being on the show.
Thank you so much, and
All right.
I haven't taken up too much.
You certainly have not. If I had longer, if I didn't have to press an advert break, you could have even longer.
Okay.
Okay, take care. Bye-bye.
Bye. Okay. Bye-bye.